Well, welcome back to the 12th talk and the Book of Revelation, entitled Revelation, A Message for Our Troubled Times. And we're in the third section of the book. First section, Christ preparing his church to be his witness. Second section, those punishment, the warnings of God down upon the world because the world will not listen to the witness of his church. And we saw the seven seals of God being opened in his perfect plan and purpose in heaven, and those warnings coming down upon the world. But the world ignores the warnings. And so the third section, we see the seven trumpets of God that announce the punishments of God upon the world because they ignore his warnings and will not listen to the witness of his church. And we've already noted the first six of those trumpets and the first four strike at the comforts and the necessities that we have in this world, those things that we need for life, and things become very difficult for us and very uncomfortable in the world, and that gets worse as the world gets worse and turns further and further away from God. Then the fifth trumpet announces that Satan is loosed upon the world because the world loves the things of Satan. It loves the things that Satan tempts us with, loves sin, and loves all the things that are against God. And then the sixth trumpet announces that man is loosed upon man to do his worst, because we believe that man has a good heart. Well, this trumpet is to show us the very thoughts and intents of men's hearts, that they are wicked always. And the very depth that we can sink to in violence and wickedness against one another. Now there is a pause in heaven. There is this pause while we see what is happening to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, this witness for the Lord Jesus Christ during this gospel age. Again, let me remind you, each section is showing us something more about the gospel age, the period of time when Jesus Christ went to heaven to be with his Father after he died on the cross of Calvary and saved his people there from their sins, and when he comes again to claim his people and to wind up this world and take us to judgment. There is a pause while we see what is happening to his church. But that pause does not mean that his plans and purposes are on hold while we see this. No, that still carries on. It's working towards that end when the Lord Jesus Christ will come again. It's just a pause in the narrative so that we can see the church of Jesus Christ, how the world responds to the witness and to the little book that is given to the church. That little book that is not the complete revelation of God, of God's plans and purposes, but that revelation of God that is complete for us. It is that complete revelation of all the things that we need to know and we need to understand for faith and life in this world. That's the Bible. That's what it tells us. Everything that God wants us to know and that we need to know for life and faith, so that we can know him and walk with him and find that salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's bitter and it's sweet at the same time. It has a bitterness because it reveals our sin and it reveals the judgment and wrath of God against sin, and that there is hell to pay when we at the end, if we do not repent and seek him and find him as our Saviour. But it's sweet also because it reveals the mercy of God and the compassion of God and the love of God towards those who need his salvation. We all do, don't we? And God shows his love to us and his compassion to us by sending his Son, his only Son, to die on that cross of Calvary, to give life to all who believe upon him and forgiveness for their sins and heaven when they die. So bitter, but it's also sweet. It has that wonderful gospel of salvation within it. Well, how would the world respond to that message? How we see in more depth how the world responds. But first, we see that John, who is representative of the church, because he is the apostle of Jesus Christ, the last apostle now. All the others have died in the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has been given this revelation to show the church those things that must happen, those things that are to come, and how it will be for them and how they will fare during the gospel age. Well, he is now given a measuring rod to measure the church, and we'll see what that means. But let me read to you those verses from chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. Then I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood, saying, "Rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there. But leave out the court, which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles, and they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. Now, those 42 months are a significant period of time, but a short period of time. They are the gospel age, that age between the Lord's first coming and going to heaven and his second coming to wind up this world. And during that gospel age, we're told here that the temple of God is measured. Measured, it is, and the measurement is known to God. And that's important. It's measured so we can see that God knows all his people, because the temple represents his people. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we're told that we, the people of God, those who are saved in Jesus Christ, are now the temple of God, because God dwells within us. The Holy Spirit has taken residence within us and is there as our comforter and our help and our strength and our stay and our guide through this life, so that to help us to live the Christian life for our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ and be those effective witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we are the temples of the living God. And we are told that we are the true worshippers of God. John chapter 4. The time is coming, he says, to the woman at the well, when the true worshippers will worship me in spirit and in truth. So those people who are born again through Jesus Christ, whose spirits have been made alive, who now are spiritual people and can respond to a God who is spirit and know a God who is spirit and have a relationship with him. We are those people, and we are the true worshippers of God who worship him in spirit, through our spirits, and having this relationship with him, and through the truth, that is the word of God, and that dwells richly within us and is revealed in his book, the Bible. So the temple that is being measured are the people of God. God knows them all. They are all known to him, and they are all there, complete before him. All the church through the gospel age, all known to him and loved by him. But those outside, represented by the court of the Gentiles, those outsiders, those who weren't allowed within the temple, the physical temple, that is the court of the Gentiles, where the Gentiles could meet and hear what was going on inside and see what was going on inside, but not allowed inside. Those who are outside, well, they have no part in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not saved, if you're not saved in Jesus Christ, then you have no part in him. And he knows who are his. He knows those who are outside, and he knows those who are inside, because he has died for those who, and given his life for those on the cross of Calvary, who will believe upon him and trust in him as their saviour. He knows them all. He knows all his sheep. His sheep know him. And when he calls them to salvation, they come to him. John chapter 10. So we see all this being worked out here in Revelation, don't we? So the church is measured, and the court of the temple, and the court, the Gentile court, is outside. And they will trample on the people of God. They will trample on the message of God all through the gospel age. Yes, there'll be times of revival. There'll be times when many thousands will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But as things progress and as things get worse and as the world turns against God, then the world will trample on the word of God and on the message of God and on the people of God as well. And people are suffering for the Lord Jesus Christ even today in this world. In fact, more people are suffering now for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ than at any other time in the history of the Church of Jesus Christ. They're suffering in Korea, in North Korea. They're suffering in other countries for their faith and for their love of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're suffering in the by the hands of militant Muslims and communists in China. Many Christians are suffering for their faith and love of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Christ knows them, Christ loves them, and Christ will have them as his own at the end. Now the second part, verses 3 to 14, we see these two witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, that's the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we'll see. Let me read you the section. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. These have power to shut heaven so that no rain falls on the days of their prophecy. And they have power over waters to turn them to blood and to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. When they finish their testimony, the beast that descends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them and kill them, and their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Then those from the peoples, tribes, tongues and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days. And not allow their dead bodies to be put into the graves. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them, make merry, and send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. Now after the 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell on those who saw them, and they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, "Come up here." And they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them. In the same hour there was a great earthquake, and the tenth of the city fell. In the earthquake 7,000 people were killed, and the rest were afraid and gave glory to God of heaven. The second woe is past. Behold, the third woe is to come quickly. So, as we see here, God has two witnesses, and those two witnesses represent the church and its witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. The two witnesses, Jews and Gentiles who have come to Jesus Christ and are now witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. Two witnesses because those who are his servants upon the earth are represented by the apostles and the prophets, those who have given the word of God and those who have founded the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in all ages. God has always had these two witnesses for him. And these two witnesses are very effective in their witness. They have the power of God to tell people of their need and to reach people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, but also to convict people of their sin. And we see this, don't we, here. They're given this power for 1,260 days. And that is the equivalent of those 42 months that we've seen for the church being measured. It's the whole of that gospel age when the church has an opportunity for a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And they are preserved by God during that gospel age. In verse 5 we read, "And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemy. And if anybody wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. God is protecting his church and keeping his church. And even though there is persecution against his church is never overcome. His church is only made stronger by these persecutions. And his church thrives even today in the midst of persecution and in the midst of their enemies. So we see Satan loosed. And this Satan does have this little hour, doesn't he? When, as we've seen previously, Satan is going to be loosed so to inflict the world and to torment the world with temptations and sin. Well, Satan doesn't only direct his attention to the world, but to the church as well. And his aim with the church is to stop their witness so that the world will not hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and will not seek the Lord Jesus Christ and will not come to repentance and faith and have eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's part in inflicting the church, it's part of his infliction and means of tormenting the world. And he is very effective in this because the world does not want to listen to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and would rather silence the witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. And towards the end, just before the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, we're told for 3.5 days, it's a period of time, but a very short period of time, the world will think it has succeeded in silencing the church of the Lord Jesus Christ through any means at its hand, it has at hand. It will try and silence. It will be effective in silencing the witness of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it will exhort itself. It will say, look what we've done. How clever we've been in silencing the church and silencing the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that will be very short-lived, because at the end of those 3.5 days, the witnesses will rise again, and they will be very effective and powerful in their witness. And many believe there will be a great revival, and many souls will be saved during that period of time. But many will fear, because they know that this is a work of God, and they can see that God is at work, and that soon God will deal with the world because of its sin, according to the message of his witnesses and the message of his word. And they will fear because of the judgment to come. Well, let me ask you something, friends. Where will you stand on that day? Where do you stand now? Would you like to see the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ silenced? Does it irk you? Does it mean that you feel you're guilty and ashamed and you don't like that and you'd rather silence it and you'd rather not have the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, let me tell you, friends, if that's the case, then that is to your own detriment. You are cutting off your nose to spite your face, friends, as the old saying goes. You are hurting yourself by doing this, because the witness of the church is a witness of grace and mercy and forgiveness for sin and eternal life. Don't you want that? Surely, surely you do. This witness is that witness that we all need to hear. And if we are the Lord's people, then that is the witness that we have. That is the only hope for mankind. That is the way of salvation and the way of eternal life for people who, if they do not find him, will surely end in hell for all eternity. Well, lastly, friends, the book ends on a high note. The chapter ends on a high note. Then the seven angels sounded, and there was a loud voice in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign for ever and ever. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshipped God, saying, we give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear you, your name, small and great. And you shall destroy those who destroy the earth. Then the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the ark of his covenant was seen in his temple. And there was lightnings, noises, thunderings, and earthquakes, and great hail. Well, friends, the end of this book is a great triumph for the church. This chapter is a great triumph for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It brings in the day of judgment and the wrath of God upon unbelievers. It's not a day of triumph for them. It's an end of all the witness of the church. It's an end of opportunity to seek and find the Lord Jesus Christ. It brings in great fear. They're trembling, aren't they? Then in verse 12, in the same hour there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the cities fell. In the earthquake, 7,000 people were killed, and the rest were afraid and gave glory to God in heaven. Too late. The judgment is coming. Too late they give glory to God. Too late they seek forgiveness from him in their fear and their trembling. Now the judgment of God is upon them. Now there is no escape. Now there is only hell to face, and hell to welcome them for all eternity. The wrath of God is falling upon them. Verse 19, then the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the ark of the covenant was seen in the temple, and there were thunderings, noises, lightnings, earthquakes, and great hail. The wrath of God upon man for his sin, but the blessings of God from God upon his people. What blessings there are. What joys here. They are not gripped by fear, but they have power at the end. They triumph over their enemies and over those who have killed them and over those who have trampled them down and trampled down their message. There is great upheaval, but not for them. They are the raptured ones. Verse 12, then they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, come up here. And they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them. Triumph as they rise up to be with their Saviour. Just as they said, just as they have been telling people all along. Yes, Jesus Christ is alive, and Jesus Christ has a people. And Jesus Christ is coming for those people. And here he is. On that day, he will receive them to himself. And the world will see it. And the world will know the truth of their witness. And then they are rewarded in heaven. They reign with him in heaven. And they enjoy heaven with him forevermore. What a picture there is of the blessings of the Lord's people here. And the rewards that there are for serving the Lord Jesus Christ and knowing him as your Saviour. Well, let me ask you, friends, what would it be for you on that day? If the Lord Jesus Christ is coming today, what would it be, friends? Would it be fear? Would it be judgment? Would it be eternal torment? Or would it be the joy of hearing your Saviour's voice, calling you to himself, the joy of triumph and victory, the joy of knowing that you're going home with him for all eternity in the joys and blessings of heaven. May that be your end, even today. May it be that you know and love the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and are safe in him. Well, thank you for listening to this 12th talk, and we hope to see you back for the 13th next week. And if you do want to hear more, then please do tune in to our website, Uxbridge Road Tabernacle. There are more messages there for you to listen to, and may that they be a blessing to you. Well, thank you.